Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
High crotch, bring it back, single leg swing. Let me teach you how to wrestle. Okay. Let me teach you how to wrestle.
Welcome back to Wrestling Mindset right after the Olympic trials. And what an unbelievable trials it was. Right, Jeff?
It was fun. It was fun. What an experience.
Our first our first Olympic trials that we've been to.
Yeah. Yeah, I brought two of my kids there, and they're like, how many Olympic trials have you been to before? They just assume that you've been to a lot of these. So this is our first time there, first time at the Olympic trials. And it was at Penn State. It was in driving distance. We're in New Jersey, so it wasn't too far. And we were there. We got to be there the day before. Jake Hunter was presenting at the Silver Coaches College. So we got in a day early, got a nice Airbnb. And, man, we saw legends in action. Legends being made and legends on their way out.
And speaking of legends, what a legendary move doing this for your eldest son's birthday. His Johnny turned 8. So he came. Right. So we got to
epic. Epic is the word. Epic's the word we kept using. It was great. I was like, what a weekend. It was epic.
Well, who came out? It was not only Johnny and Anthony, two of your five kids, the two wrestlers, the two.
You got to shout them out. So it's our group from Pursuit Wrestling with the Howman brothers. So we've been going for, I think, since the end of last summer, maybe September. So it's a small group of seven, eight, nine-year-olds. My sons, Johnny and Anthony, their friends, William. We had William there. We had Aiden. We had Andrew and Hudson. And then we had Adrian. So we had our group of seven there that trains with the Howmans at Pursuit. And we got a nice Airbnb. And it was an epic birthday party. Party for Johnny. We're hoping that it really fans the flames for wrestling, for the love of the sport.
That's what I said. Doing these having something like this where they could actually go to and it's like surrounded by wrestling. And remember, the kids are young. I do think these kids are the future. I mean, they are on our Monday night calls. We should actually say something about that. That these are the young guys who are 7, 8 years old who are on our Monday night calls every Monday at 8:30. So I mean, not only are they Hulkamaniacs in the sense that they're wearing the wrestling mindset, they're wearing the Z up in the stands, going up and down the bleachers, up and down, or the, you know, at the Bryce Jordan Arena, but these guys are taking their mindset serious. But just for them to all be together and to be in the Airbnb that we had, which we called the mansion, it was like a log cabin, which was the log cabin in the shape of a mansion. So it was
what shape is a mansion?
big
rectangle.
A big one, and hats off to their dads who are very good at cooking also. So nice breakfast, but yeah, it was awesome. Again, a great event for them to be together, and then just being able to watch some of the best wrestling. I mean, they actually said that they just kind of took for granted that we were going to be going to Paris after this.
That's right. They're like, oh, we're going. Like, Dad, are we going to the Olympics? Like, I said, no, we're not going to go. I was like, it's in Paris, France. Like, so are we going to go? I was like, no, not this one.
But maybe next one in LA. So
that's right.
So this one definitely sets the stage for that. So man, different for us being there at the, that was our first media credentialed event. I mean, we've been to many events. We've been on the floor for different events, but the first media credential event in large part, thanks to this podcast and all of you who have been liking and subscribing and sharing with friends. And if you haven't, we invite you to please do so. Like, subscribe, share with friends, click the bell, give us the thumbs up. And
that's right. I was going to say, we were able to get the media credentials, not because of our company, Wrestling Mindset, and everyone that we help, but through our podcast, right? Obviously, that makes
right here.
So if you saw the Z's at the Olympic trials, make sure you drop us a comment.
That's right. And it just very
or
different.
If, or if you saw us at the Fan Fest, right? Obviously the event, we were at Fan Fest, the Silver Coaches College, Jay Connor presented there in front of, I think it was club coaches, high school coaches, and some college coaches. Jay Hunter was there with us at the Airbnb. He was at the event. He was at the Fan Fest. And if you got an email from him this week, you're in great shape, right, Gene?
Yeah, if any of our we had a lot of applicants to be mindset coaches. If you got an email from him, it means you've passed to the next stage of the game. It doesn't automatically mean you're in, but it's a good step for you. But yeah, Jake was there, and that was at Mike Clayton's coaching certification. We've been doing a lot with Mike Clayton, USA Wrestling. He's another guy who's been around forever. We have his old binder from wrestling. He's got a whole big thing on the mind-body connection of wrestling. He was former coach at Stevens Institute of Technology while we were working with the team, brought us in. And now we just had our mindset coaches certification. And then we tacked on his program on top of it for anyone who wanted to do it. So yeah, awesome stuff with Mike Clayton. Hardcore coaches. We saw coaches from Missouri, Colorado, Washington State. And a lot of those guys had to go back after. They didn't even get to watch the wrestling. But it was a great coaches dinner that Jake and I went to. But it was a lot of fun. But I guess
I was going to say, let's start with maybe what didn't you like about the event, or what, maybe the way to put it is, what could have they done better? I guess my initial thought, it's like, it was, as a spectator, it was long. The days were long, and there was like a very little gap in between. And then, you hear about the complaints from some of the wrestlers. I mean, they didn't complain about it, but you hear about, that guys are cutting weight till 1 and 2 in the morning, right? Aaron Brooks, I heard that. Trying to make weight. It's like he had to run the gauntlet, win the tournament, and then he has to make weight the next day. It's like, I don't know, weigh-ins are probably at 8 o'clock, and he was cutting weight until 2 a.m. If you want to see these wrestlers at their best, we just got to find better solutions. Yeah, I get it. People have to lose weight. They have to get down to weight. But there's got to be something that's a little bit better. Also, in terms of the finals, when it's like men's freestyle, women's freestyle, Greco, I think it's hard for the casual fan, right? Because it's like, all right, who's wrestling here? What's Greco? What's freestyle? It's just hard to follow. And I thought it was kind of slow. That'd be the critique.
Yeah. Definitely. I personally, for me, being down there, mat side, it is so different being mat level watching this versus being way up there in the stands, especially someone like myself who can't sit still. The fact that I was able to have kind of a dual role there, not only was I watching as a spectator, but then following the people out. You guys probably saw the Wrestling Mindset on there. I stayed down there as long as I could have until they like actually booted me over to the other side. Like, okay, you can't stand right in the front of the mat, but I was able to be there, and then camera angles of all the different things that were going on. So that was great being able to follow some of the wrestlers out, clip some of the interviews. Make sure you check out our pages for all that. That was good. Yeah, I mean, I don't like the uncertainty of when what match is coming up. I really think they need to separate. I think they really need to separate men's, women's, and Greco. They're just three different things, and different people are interested in those different things. I mean, it's all wrestling. Don't get me wrong. It's great. And they should be like, okay, yeah, if they're all going to be at the same event, I think you got to run the freestyle all at once, the Greco all at once, the women's all at once. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves. Like, well, why, if they don't want to do that, well, why? What's the purpose? I guess I get it that we want to show everyone love. And again, awesome stuff with Greco, awesome stuff with the women's, obviously awesome stuff with the men's freestyle, but you got to know when which match is coming up. And it's like the spectators, they're planning their weekend out of this. So it's like to keep everyone there all at once. I get it that we're trying to grow women's wrestling and trying to grow Greco, but it's like, everyone's planning their weekend and planning their day, and to have everyone cooped up inside. I'm sure the Greco and the women don't appreciate that either, because it's a long weekend for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, back to what you said before about, we have to put the health of the athletes in the forefront. A lot of these guys are pulling some serious weight. Again, also another benefit of being mat side. I mean, I'm probably weighing close to 195 pounds right now. Could lose some weight for the summer. But I mean, these guys like 163, 145, they're looking big, really big. So, and I mean, them coming down, it's like, how are these people at this weight? So for them, and then several times I saw with, they want an interview with Nick Lee, interview with Zane Rutherford right after the match. And like, they're telling the guys, they're telling the fans, and they're telling the
media, right?
The media back there. They're like, I got to lose my weight. It's like, I'll do it later. I got to lose my weight. And it's like, and some of the media people were ticked off. They were like, you know, Nolf, he just beat Burrows. And right away, he's like, yep, I got a great teammate in the finals. He's going to talk to you later or something. And it was like, and one of the guys was like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, after Nolf ran by, and they weren't like mad at Nolf per se, but they were like, maybe they were, I don't know, but they weren't happy that they were like, that's all he gave us. He said like two lines, yeah. Then ran out. He's got to get the weight off. And I told the media people, and this is the difference being a wrestler versus a lot of these other media people where, you know, a lot of these people not even weren't wrestlers, but weren't athletes even. And that's pretty apparent when you watch, and a lot of them were though. So we're not putting all of them down. Don't misunderstand there, but they're like, you know, you kidding me? And I'm like, these guys, they have a sweat going right now. If you're down that much weight, it's hard to get a sweat going. They need to get a hoodie on immediately. So that's not, and then being up to the wee hours of the night, that's just messed up. Carter Sturacci had an impromptu interview behind the scenes, which is also great to see. Like, these interviews just kind of emerged on their own.
Which we posted up. It's on our Instagram. Yeah. Wrestling Mindset Instagram. You can watch, I think, most of it on there. I'm sure it's on YouTube as
that
well.
That wasn't the majority of the interview. That was only the part about when there was one guy who kept asking him. They're like, "Sir, are you going to go for five, or are you going to start face punching?" And he's going, "If you are going to go with the face punching, so you know, what do you feel like that?" So, you know, and if the face punching, he just said face punching three times. I just thought it was hilarious.
I think it was four or five. I just listened to that. I listened to that the other day. Yeah.
He said he was 60-40, though. He said he's going to talk to his coaches. Like, I'm going to just talk to the greatest coaches
60,
in the world.
60-40 now that he's coming back for to pursue his fifth. So that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I would imagine if he comes back, he's going up a weight. There's no way Carter Sturacci is coming back at 174. I think he comes back, he's going 184. So I don't know what that looks like for the team, but he's talking to Coach Kale about that. Hopefully he gets the green light to go up in weight.
He looked big. Saw him behind the scenes. David Carr spoke to him. Just a great guy overall. We talked a lot about perspective and faith and just how big that is. He's taller than I expected. Or maybe I'm sure I'm probably shorter than he expected, or maybe not, but it was good. He's a real good guy.
Other thing we were talking before the show, I saw from Coach Brian Stoll, Del Barton head coach, he actually posted on Facebook, a guy's named Nathan Shy. He posted, it's on Twitter now. I'll probably retweet it actually, so people could find it, but 10 takeaways from the Olympic trials. And one of them, I think number two is, the event belongs somewhere without a host school. Fort Worth was pretty much perfect, if anyone wants my opinion. So, you know, we're getting at there. It's like, all right, it was at Penn State. So, I don't know, maybe 75% of the people there were Penn State fans. And was it 8 out of 12 people in the finals wrestled for the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club? So, in a sense, hey, they deserve it. You have all these guys that are, in the hunt to win it, and 4 out of the 6 for men's freestyle did win. Do they deserve it as a host school? Sure. But isn't it an advantage? It's like, I mean, imagine like, you know, you're training in your own gym. It's like you're sleeping in your own bed. You don't have to travel. And then you have, you know, 75% of the fans, if not more, are cheering you on. It's like that's an advantage, which probably isn't right for the rest of the field.
Yeah. And it's like, and I'm always a big proponent of, let's do this someplace warm. Like, you want to grow wrestling in Florida? Why is the only wrestling event in Florida, other than the Sunshine Open, which is right after Christmas, which, you know, how many teams are really going out to that? We were there when I was coaching at Springfield College. But the only event in Florida that I'm aware of is the National Wrestling Coaches Convention. And that's the last weekend of July, the first weekend of August. And that's like the two of the weeks out of the year where it's warmer weather in New Jersey than it is in Florida. So it's like, that's not
pretty humid out there too. not we're complaining. It's an awesome event. We plan on going to again.
Oh yeah. No, but, oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's one time you don't need to be in Florida.
That's my point. And that, you know, I'm for NCAAs there. It's like, if we're gonna make a vacation out of this, let's make a vacation out of this. So, yeah, I mean, I'm for doing it someplace warm. I mean, you know, you're always seeing I feel like it's always like an Iowa or Kansas City or Wisconsin. It's like, no, let's go someplace warm. Like, let's, yeah, that's just me. I'm sure Kyle Dake would agree. He's a big fan of getting the sunlight. Clearly he had a solid tan going into it as well. And Pantaleo always has a great tan.
That's right. Let's go through the other elephant in the room is just, you know, not that there's anything like USA Wrestling can do about it, but just not enough weight classes, right? You see a lot of guys that are just competing in a weight that's clearly not their optimal weight. You know, you look at like James Green is always the example they give. And I think he's 0-6, 0-7 at the Olympic trials, but we know it's like, if there's a 70 kilograms, it's like he's winning, dominating. And he has in the past. Right. And you have guys like, you know, like Vito who couldn't compete, you know, our guy Vito, it's like, he wasn't able to compete with injuries and the weight. It's like Dayton Fix. It's clearly not the best weight for him. Nick Suriano, right. Those guys are just too big for that weight, for that to be their optimal weight. You know, so like you're seeing guys that are obviously they're still competing at a very high level, but it's just probably not near their best because even Zane Rutherford, I mean, he won the whole thing, but you know, I mean, he won the worlds last year and he just looked like he had more energy, more horsepower, but he was able to get it done in spite of that. And then Aaron Brooks too, you know, he's cutting weight till 2 a.m. He had to come down from 197. It's like, he's big for the weight. It's like, you know, it's good he made the team, but there's, I would guess 92 kilograms is probably even a better weight for him.
Yeah, it's like health. We have to look out for the health of the athletes, and six weights is just too few. You know, it's too few. Can't have that. And like, you know, you see that like the guys, in order to be truly competitive, they got to come down. I mean, we were talking to Brian Shute, Frank Jasper from Vision Quest. Yeah, he was awesome. We had a great time with him at FanFest.
Still in great shape.
Yeah,
he might be more ripped than in Vision Quest 40 years ago.
Well, he's taking it serious, and you know, we're going through like, you know, tips and tricks and talking things like bulletproof coffee and intermittent fasting, and you know, he's got a plan, and obviously he works with Nick Suriano closely, and you know, with in a coaching capacity of like health and nutrition. It sounds like their plan was for Suriano to go up to 145, and then at the or whatever it was, and then he came down
5 kilograms.
It was like let's get stronger and stuff like that and go up, and then it's like the Olympics comes around, it's like, yeah, he's going down. It's like, and he's like, oh, all right, like that was part of the plan. But we see this over and over again that when guys are in between, guys usually come down. Not all the time, but I would say it's like 80-20. If a guy could go up or go down, guy goes down. Because it's hard. Like, look at, you know, it's a guy like Nashawn Garrett. It's like, first of all, he's towards the end of his career, but it's like, you know, it's like, was he going to go down to 125 or he's going to go up to 140? He went up to 145, and like Mendez, I was saying hats off to Mendez. He wrestled awesome. I was super impressed with him. Anyone who was there that watched him wrestle, you know, we saw him the Big Ten, we saw him at the NCAAs, and then here, and he said it in his interview, he was like, he's here to win. He's not looking to participate. He's really truly looking to win. And he said he believes he could beat anyone. And then, you know, during his interview, I'm talking to Logan Stieber behind the scenes there, world champ in his own right, four-time NCAA champ. I don't need to introduce Logan Stieber. Everyone knows who he is. And he said, yeah, Mendez has definitely jumped levels. And I said, well, that's readily apparent to anyone who's been watching wrestling. And Mendez just looks awesome. And I mean, he handed it to Nashawn Garrett. And that's impressive because you don't normally see matches, especially in freestyle, where Nashawn Garrett doesn't score at least 7 points against really good guys. And it's like he scored no points against him. My point is, it's like, again, being up a weight, it makes a difference. They got to add more weights. I was talking to Valentin Kalika the other day about this. You'd have seen he's been on a lot more of our podcasts lately. He's become a friend. And we have to credit him also for the tech, you know, sometimes an unsung hero behind Telen Maroulis and Amit Allure. He was their coach, brought them all overseas. I got all kinds of pictures of them when they were training with the men out in Georgia and all different places Valentin took them. But like Valentin said, in 2013, when they were going to cut wrestling in general, the Olympic committee, then they're like, okay, well, now 6 weight classes. And we were like, yes, we'll take it. It's like, well, we'll take anything. It's well, our bargaining power wasn't strong when they were going to cut wrestling. So, you know, they bargained us down with the old Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If any of you know about that type of stuff. So, but yeah, they bargained us down. So now it's only 6 weight classes, but yeah, most guys, they have to go down. Like you say, well, they could choose to go up. Most guys go down though. So it's not healthy.
Yep. All right. Maybe we go through the weight classes.
All right. 25. Spencer Lee.
57 kilograms. Spencer Lee.
Yeah.
I picked him. Once Vito is out.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, you know, kind of like we were saying, he's one that is in the right weight class, right? It's like he's always competed at 125. It's like he's always looked good. It's like, so I think that's something that he has going for him, other than the fact that he's like Superman on the mat, right? Like going back to the recap from Nathan Chai, said America needs Spencer Lee, mini Sagulayev, built for freestyle. And they put it well. This guy is so good that his few losses have taken a disproportionate share of attention. It really isn't fair. And it says this guy's been one of the most exciting wrestlers in the last 10 years. Like, it's funny. We were up, you know, watching, you know, me and my friends and the kids. Like, there's not a lot of pins. You know, it's like, they're like, why are there no pins? And it's like, well, you know, these guys are really good. It's hard to pin someone who's really good. And sure enough, it's like, well, if there's anyone who's going to pin someone and somebody who's really good, it's going to be Spencer Lee. And sure enough, he ended with a fall against Gilman, which is very appropriate for Spencer Lee.
And what happened? Gilman slipped, or Spencer Lee caught him in a certain situation? No, he didn't get caught. He got packed. Got packed.
And I even said, Scott, he finds his way into a bar arm. And it's like, no, he doesn't find his way there. He gets himself there because he does it in freestyle. He does it in folk style. He got himself into a Gable bar, which we should probably call a Spencer Lee bar now. But, you know, he got there. He put him away. I thought Gilman wrestled really well outside of his first match, which was, I think he won like 5-4, 6-5 against the high school sensation. Right. Who was that against?
Yep. But Jax Forrest.
Jax Forrest. Yeah, that was an awesome match. He had some nice slide bys. But after that, it's like he looked really good against Fix. I think he shut him out. And Fix looked really good against Suriano. Right. I think he won 5-1. And then, you know,
Spencer. Their highest scoring match ever. Their highest scoring match ever by far.
That's right. By double. And then Spencer Lee he gets it done. Gilman looked good. I thought Gilman wrestled well. You know, he was in a few bad positions and, you know, that cost him, but it was a fun match. You know, the fans wanted that one for a while. He even said that. Gilman said he was excited for the fans. And, it's good to see that, like, you know, they kind of squashed the beef between them or there, maybe there never was any. And that was just the media made it out that way. But, you know, two good competitors going after it. And, now Spencer Lee's got to qualify the weight, which I think he will.
Yeah, and Spencer even said in the interview when I was back there, he said, you know, once I, you know, he told him that he always looked up to him, and he said that he's once a Hawkeye, always a Hawkeye, and that's you know, that's great. But Spencer Lee was obviously fired up. I mean, you can't say enough about Gilman. He's got the most medals of any American at 125, right? At the lowest weight class,
He was number two. Number two. Rick Sanders was ahead of him,
right?
But he was ahead of like Brands, Zeke Jones, Who's the other one from Wisconsin?
Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. It's like,
it's nuts. Oh, Barry Davis.
Barry Davis. Yep. I mean,
yeah, it's nuts. So, I mean, how good he is. It just seemed like when you see Spencer Lee come out without like two knee braces on, he's had a whole year to recover, or at least a whole year a whole year not to be completely grinded down through a college wrestling season, which raises the old question about, you know, the competing versus not competing in college, right? But not to go down that road, but you see also that he's you watch that Flow Wrestling clip that they had in the archives about talking about Gilman saying years ago, try having Spencer Lee in the room and being humbled. It's like, it really looked like it was going to be in Spencer Lee's favor, the whole thing. And obviously he was real pumped after he won. You know, so I was right there when he was hugging his parents. We got that video and he came off the mat fired up. He's looking at Brands like he wasn't ready for that. He wasn't, obviously he was just, you know, amped up. And this goes back to the Brands thing where he said, I saw him, Spencer Lee wearing his emotion on his sleeves. And I said, that guy's a hawk. It's like, what? He was just fired up, right? He was just fired up after the match. He wasn't necessarily wearing his heart on his sleeves. And then also,
I was just gonna say, it's awesome to see him do it, given that like his college career kind of ended about as bad as it could have, right? He got pinned. It's like he was hurt. He got pinned. He didn't wrestle back. He got it like I said before, he got a tremendous amount of heat for it. And it's like he gets a disproportionate amount of attention for his losses because he's, not only so,
he kills
good,
everyone.
So dominant. It's like he wins 8-0. Everyone. It's always been that way. It's like he wins 8-0. It's like, what happened with Spencer Lee? It's like he only beat that guy from, you know, from Wisconsin 8-0, or whoever it is, from Michigan 8-0. It's like, yeah, the guy who ended up finishing third at that weight or something. You know, it's like 8-0 is pretty dominant, but that's the bar that, you know, he's graded.
And Brands called him the GOAT. He's like, when he's wrestling at his best, there's no one better. That's a high compliment coming from Brands, especially knowing Iowa always at that lowest weight, always had hammers, always. And also knowing that he was in that weight himself, and he's calling him the GOAT. So
yeah, we've had some good interviews with Spencer Lee. You're going to want to check those out on our podcast. We're going to try to get him again. I'm sure it's going to be tough in these next couple weeks because he's competing in maybe 2-3 weeks. I think it's May 10th, 11th, 12th, something like that in Turkey. Yeah.
And then hats off to Gilman. We saw him make, it was brought up to our attention by one of our mindset coaches, Michael Engberg, sent me a text message. He said, notice that Thomas Gilman made the sign of the cross even after he lost. He said, that might have been the first time he saw that. We see a lot of people praying after they win, but the fact that he lost, I think we do have to say, give that shout out to Penn State of how they developed the guys as humans, as people that, you know, even though maybe they're coming from different faiths or different denominations, seems like the people are genuinely starting to take faith more serious at Penn State and just overall growth and development. You know,
developing, I was going to say developing character. That's one of the guys, like, I've been really impressed with him the last few years. And it was clearly after he went to Penn State. And that doesn't mean that Iowa wasn't preaching that, because I think the Brands brothers, and, you know, they're on point and they're trying to develop the person as a human. But he said it. When he left Iowa, it's like he needed to grow up. And it's like he just, you know, went to the right place, I think, at the right time. And, you know, it's like he was one of those guys, just seemed like one of the mean wrestlers, to like just a guy with great perspective and, you know, the type of guy you'd want around your kids, you know, coaching them and mentoring them. So hats off to Gilman. It's like, I think he's, yeah. I mean, I've always liked watching him wrestle and compete, and I think he's always been intense, and he still is, but like the perspective and the faith and, you know, everything about him now, it's just cool to see the character evolution.
Absolutely. That was great. And then like you back to think about what you said before about Spencer Lee, how quickly it seemed like all of wrestling turned against him. And then he won to have that moment. That was great. But it also goes to show, and this, our coach, Don Ernst, God rest his soul, he always said, you know, we got to be concerned with our people. It's not about everyone else. It's about our people. Not in a selfish way. He didn't mean it, but he was making the point that, you know, people are going to be with you. People are going to be with you when you're winning and against you when you're losing. So don't, you know, don't take it personal. And we saw that again with Jordan Burroughs. I know we're skipping weights here, but to me, that seemed like the right juxtaposition between Spencer Lee. Now he got the hero's welcome. Like, hey, he's back on everyone's good graces when he's winning, which is nuts. And then it's like, and then now Jordan Burroughs, who basically, I just didn't like the way he was treated at all this weekend. And I get it that people, like upsets, and I get it that he's not the home team, right? So like, you get it that people are going to cheer for the other guy, but there's a big difference between cheering for a guy, and David Carr and I were speaking about this, a big difference between cheering for a guy versus like intentionally rooting against a guy, especially a guy who's done so much good for the sport. Even if he didn't do good for the sport, it'd be messed up. It just makes it all the worse given who he is and what he's done, not just as success on the mat, but also being a truly good ambassador for the sport. So, yeah. And I know it's not every person in the arena, but certain people there, not just that one guy, but all those people there should really be, a lot of those people there should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, part of it goes back to the home field advantage, right? Having it at the host school, you know, that doesn't necessarily help things like that, but you know, I think it's a few people just acting ridiculous, you know, but you can't say enough good things about Burroughs, right? It's like, I mean, I was telling everyone, it's like, it's amazing. Like, I think of like Burroughs, Dake, Taylor, Adeline Gray, Helen Marulis, like these people, it's like since our company began, like since we, you know, both left our jobs, you as a fully
incorporated. Yeah.
Yeah. Me as a financial advisor, like once we left our jobs and we were full-time Wrestling Mindset 2012. These are the people that we were blogging about. These are the people that we were making articles about. These are the people that we were making our podcasts about. And the fact they're still competing made it extra special to be able to watch it. Right. And it's like, you know, that you can't say enough good things really about all of them, but Burroughs, like being just a phenomenal ambassador for the sport. It's like, you know, high character, you know, strong faith, family life, right? He's got 5 kids now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those guys, like, what hasn't he done for the sport? You know, he's changed wrestling for the better, and he plans on continuing to change wrestling for the better. So it's like anything against him is just downright wrong, you know? So I don't know. Shout out to Barros. Hopefully he comes back. I've heard some talk about him, you know, looking to make the world team at 79 kilograms, you know, making another run at it. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's because he's going to be wrestling those, you know, I'm sure Nolf will be looking for that spot as well. It's going to be tough. Hopefully he does. But it's like we talked about, like, you know, if you lose, he's going to put his shoes on the mat. It's like, not there, not in that setting.
Oh, heck no.
He's not going to give him satisfaction.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
He don't deserve it. Yeah.
No, don't give him the satisfaction. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how about his match against Messenbrink? So watching it, and again, you got to love the way Messenbrink competes. Like he's all at it. But being down there, ground level, and just watching it up close, and being basically Matt's side for that match, he was poking the line a little bit too much. The Nittany Lion was poking the line a little bit too much. And I get it. Messenbrink likes to have fun, and I'm all for that. I'm all for like the clapping a little bit too much of the antics, like by the out of bounds, holding his legs a little bit too long, jumping into positions that he didn't really need to. It's like, yeah, I said, I'm watching. Yeah, you kind of got the sense, Matt Level, that there's only so much Burrows is going to take before he starts defending himself. You know, you got Burrows who's towards the end of his career. He's looking to make another team. He's looking to just wrestle. And Messenbrink, there was a lot of like extras, a lot of antics. And it's like, it's only a matter of time. And then he pushed his head and the whole place just goes nuts. And it's like, you know, I mean, I get it. Like, you maybe shouldn't have pushed his head like that. But on the other hand, it's like, well, what are you going to do? Like, what would you do in those situations? It's hard, like the whole time you're getting it. And then at the end, I don't know exactly what went on, but it looked like Burrows was trying to like maybe encourage him or like teach him a lesson at the end. Like he tried to like talk to him and like Messenbrink didn't want to hear it. And then he kind of pushed him again. But if you watch that, that wasn't as blatant. He just kind of like shoot him. If you watch his hands, it wasn't like a, you know, a blatant push, but the whole place was already booing him. And you're like, this is going to be real bad.
It was an unfortunate match. Like, I mean, I love watching him wrestle. I'd love to see him wrestle again. In fact, I think it'd probably be a little bit closer if Messenbrink was a little bit more calculated, you know, keep the same style of intensity, but a little bit more calculated. But like, I mean, they're getting on Burrows, and they talked about this on the Bash Mania podcast, Willie and Justin. It's like he had a sock pull and people went crazy. Like, you know, he went out of bounds, pulled up the socks, and it's like people are like, as if he was taking, you know, 5 minutes to get back to the center. It's like, give this guy a break. You know, and he was up like 6 or 7-0 at the time.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, we get it. I'm all for it. I'd be one of the first people to say, hey, like, let's get back to the middle. We don't want to stall, but you get to take a second. You get to take a second. And I don't like that when the referees didn't do it to him, but a lot of times I've seen in college or high school, it's like the refs, like trying to like insert their will into the match. You didn't see that here, but like the crowd kind of doing that. It's like, I get it that's just how it is, but I don't know. Just give the guy a break. And then, against Nolf, obviously,
here's the thing. I was like, after that match, I was like, man, this stinks, because then it's like you just read into the future, right? It's like now he's got to beat Nolf, and then he'd have to beat Dake twice. So it's like
Penn State. Yep.
Yeah, it's a really uphill battle for Burrows, and it's like, you know, difficult to end well there, you know, and it's like, so that was tough too. You know, like just seeing that, you know, was not an ideal circumstance for the GOAT.
Yeah, and that brings us right to the Nolf match, and Nolf basically shut him down. I mean, he did a good job with his body awareness, an awesome blast double. Burrows just didn't seem to be able to get that offense going like the past. And again, it's tough. Like he's a power wrestler, and obviously he's got a lot of other good quality, great qualities too. But I mean, you know, he is a power wrestler, and when you don't have that, and when that power double isn't working, it's hard. And again, these guys are scouting him; they're coming after him, and then, you know, when he lost, obviously. So I was right mid-center for that one. And then when he lost, I literally jumped behind him. I had the camera going. I watched one of the videos from one of the other news sources. You couldn't see me because I was like literally right behind the trainer. And I was right there as the whole crowd was basically booing him. And then right when he got to the end, and that guy who, you know, acted like a complete jerk and yelling. And I'm like, that was one of those things that really in my head, I'm like, this just wasn't right. And I mean, Manning got upset. he yelled back at the guy. Burroughs came back and said to me, hey, what have you ever done? You know, and it's like, that stinks. That was a crappy way to go out. And then that was it. So that was it for Jordan Burroughs. So, you know, a real shame.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate. So I don't know what to say other than that. The guy just being a complete jerk. It's like, I don't know, a guy like that should probably be removed. I don't know. Can you remove the guy from the stadium for that? No, but it's good now that his face has been exposed on some Twitter videos. But
yeah, we'll pray for his conversion.
The time is now to take your mindset to the next level with Wrestling Mindset. Make sure you go to our website, WrestlingMindset.com, and sign up for your free trial session today. Don't wait any longer. You want the mental edge right now. When you sign up for the free trial session, you're also going to get a copy of our free ebook, Building the Predator Mindset. This book has helped thousands of people build confidence, relax under pressure, get motivated, and build mental toughness in wrestling, school, and life. Make sure you sign up for your free trial session today.
And then the next one we saw, the other emotional one. So that was a real emotional one when Burroughs came in. And the other one where it was like, you know, you really feel like in the zone was the Kyle Dake after he won, and obviously coming back and right away there are, you know, questions about, you know, his dad passing away. We pray for his soul and we pray for the Dake family. And that was just, you could hear a pin drop. And it was, you know, it went on for a while. It seemed like a very long period of time. I was holding up the camera for the first like 30 seconds, and you saw Dake just wasn't having it. It's like, I didn't have the heart to keep recording. Hey, who cares about me, right? There was a whole bunch of there's about 30 other people, but I just turned it off. I'm like, no. Nah.
I think it was like a full 9-minute interview, but it felt like, you know, 25 minutes just based on the,
it was extremely quiet. I was there for almost all the interviews as the people were coming through. This was extremely quiet and a totally different feel. And yeah, that was sad. But hats off to Dake, because after Nolf basically shut down Burroughs, he pretty much shut down Nolf twice. Nolf didn't really have Nolf with one of the most high powered offense guys didn't really have anything for Dake there.
Which I mean, it's maybe in a sense apples to orange, but we were talking about this before. It's like, well, why does Kyle Dake continue to have this sustained success? Not they all had sustained success, but it's like, basically, why did Kyle Dake win, and then you have Taylor and Burroughs? Why did they lose, you know, and not look so good? And one of the things we were talking about is just that, first of all, Burroughs is older, right? He's 2-3 years older. So that doesn't help, right? When you're coming out of your prime. But just the way they wrestle, like you said, Burroughs is a power wrestler, right? Whereas Dake, not that he's not a power wrestler, but he's a defensive machine, right? So I just think that the rate at which that slows down is probably slower than the rate at which your power doubles or your power takedown slows down, right? You're going to, like, I think of like a Sadiev. I said before, it's like, you know, when he won his third Olympic gold, it's like, he clearly wasn't in his prime. You know, if you look at him there, it's like, but it's like, again, he was a defensive wizard. So stuff like that, you could hang on to a little bit longer than if he was, you know, like Jordan Burroughs and Taylor. It's like, those are high firepower guys. And if that slows down a little bit, that has a huge difference, you know, as opposed to the defense, which probably just, it goes a little bit slower than a high powered offense.
You see it?
Yes, this is.
So
over Burroughs.
Yep. Go to, look at Nolf's right knee. Go west, go to the left.
We see you. Yep.
Wrestling Mindset right there. So I'm being able to watch these kind of things. It was crazy. Also, worthy of note, Burroughs has 5 kids.
Burroughs has 5. They just had their 5th kid. Yep.
The fifth kid. I didn't even realize there was the fifth. Now, again, Zayn was with his kids. Kyle Snyder was with his kid. Adeline Gray, Jaden Cox, which is really nice to see, and especially now as a dad. That's, for me, that got me the most choked up out of all them when you see them then with their kids after, because yeah, especially me, yeah, and then being away for a little bit, even if it's only a couple of days, it's like, yeah, this is what it's all about. So that hit me in a more unexpected way than I thought, just seeing them with their kids. But Burroughs, 5 kids. And again, Taylor's got 2 kids, and Dake has 2 kids.
Dake Taylor, I think one might have 2. One has 3. So it's like they're doing it with families too.
Let me make an important point though. Kyle, Jordan Burroughs' son, how old is Beacon?
Eight or nine.
So now I think about the amount. So now here's the point. They all have other kids. Look at all the other kids a little bit younger. My point is, think about all you wrestling dads that are listening to us. Burroughs has a 9-year-old son. Think about during the day when we're talking business, but we're also racking our brains thinking about how to get our sons better at wrestling. Yours being 8 and 6, mine just turning 5 and 3, and we're talking about what to do. So Jordan Burroughs, I think about him, it's like he's racking his brain how to get his son better. It's just, there's a lot of divide. I'm not saying that he has divided focus, but I'm saying his brain is also thinking about,
yeah,
only, yeah, that's, no, different.
It is different, but you could say it about all of them, right? With their families, it's like they're running businesses. Taylor, I mean, Jordan Burroughs also has his academy, his wrestling academy. What's his name?
Taylor's his magic academy. Man. Yeah.
I believe Taylor also has another business. Doesn't he have some kind of like shop or health store or something like that? So it's like,
these guys are thinking about it.
And, you know, not to mention their sponsorships and things like that. They have a lot that's going on outside of wrestling, and it affects different people at, you know, different times and to different magnitudes. But
then you'll have these young guys.
Basically, I think it's like later in your career, you're probably better off being the defensive guy. And we're all about offense, you know, it's not like I would rather my kid be a defensive wrestler, but for a longevity in a career, I think as you get into your 30s, you know, it's going to be easier to continue as a defensive guy. And that's, yeah, obviously no knock to Kyle Dake, because he could get to his offense too when he needs to. He got the first takedown against Knopf, and then I think he had him put on the clock twice in the last match, meaning that he was more offensive. But, you know, I just think that style, that could be one of the reasons why it's like he looks to continue to be dominant, right? And they seem to be slowing down a little bit. Right? It looked like David Taylor just didn't have the same horsepower as usual. He was in on a few shots, you know, and again, hats off to Aaron Brooks being strong, explosive, you know, good defense. And he wasn't able to take Aaron Brooks down, which is crazy. Think about how many matches. I don't think he got a takedown in either match, right? Did he get one maybe? I think Taylor might have got one in two matches. That's unlike him.
Yeah, that never happens. Yeah. And you just look at it. It's like, but even, you know, guys like Dake Taylor and Burroughs, it's like these guys were behind Burroughs back in like 2012, that if they're wrestling for other countries, I mean, how many medals would have these guys won? And I guess that brings you right to the next point of different countries. It's like, you know, hats off to Valencia Wrestling Team USA having to possibly go through Brooks and Taylor when he could have just as easily went to Mexico like his brother, Anthony Valencia, as well as Austin Gomez. And, you know, it's tough for all those guys. You still got to qualify the weight for the country, but it's like, you know, you start to look at it where, hey, if you have a chance to go wrestle overseas, you probably should take that because it's going to be a real grinder going through it. And then all you have to do is beat the American once. And if they know who you are, it's kind of like in their head, it becomes a little bit of a mental thing. Like, you know who the guy is. Normally you wouldn't know who the people are from the other countries as well. But if they're an American guy, now it's in their head and you just got to beat him once versus everyone. Like, we were even saying that with Yanni. It's like, you know, if Yanni could wrestle for Greece, right, or something like that, like it'd be a tough one because you're going to have to beat all of those guys, Nick Lee and Rutherford and all those guys. Meanwhile, if you could wrestle for somewhere else, you might have a better shot.
You said some people might have a better style internationally than domestically, right? It seems like Yanni has a really good feel internationally. He always does well in international competition. That doesn't mean the other guys won't, but it's just hard. It's like winning domestically is in very deep weight classes, and they're not getting easier, and they're not getting more of them, you know, when you shrink down to 6 weight class. So I guess then we go into 65 kilograms. We didn't touch on that too much. Zane over Nick Lee, two Nittany Lion Wrestling Club guys and, you know, longtime Penn State wrestlers.
I don't know why Nick Lee was going to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess the weight.
I picked Nick Lee in this weight. I just thought he might have too much horsepower for Zane, just given the weight cut. You know, it's like Zane Zane's awesome. I love Zane. I mean, his character and as a wrestler, it's like he's intense, he's tough, great guy off the mat. But I thought he wouldn't have the horsepower at that weight, considering he won the world's, I don't know, what is it, like 10 pounds heavier? And but man, it's like, imagine the discipline that took to get down to that weight. you know, maintain that weight or get down to the weight and then wrestle at a high level. Because people forget that too. It's like, it's not just make the weight, right? You can make the weight. You got to beat not just good wrestlers, but the best among the best in the entire world, right? So that's why some of them look, it just looks like, oh man, it's like, what a shame. It's like a guy like James Green or Pantaleo. It's like, those guys have done really well internationally. And then they get down the weight and it's like, it's almost, you know, sometimes it's sad to watch, but it's like, yeah, well, they're wrestling against the best guys in the whole world. And they're down at a weight that, you know, clearly isn't the best weight class for them. Let's face it, yeah. You know, but, you know, hats off to them going for it, right? The discipline it takes to get down to that weight and put it on the line, you know, the whole, the man in the arena, hats off to them. So what else? 65 kilograms. What else? I guess you got to talk. We talked a little bit about
Mendez. Wrestler, right? Awesome.
He had four or five wins. He beat McKenna once badly. And then he lost to him for third, I believe.
And McKenna and Bo Bartlett had a heck of a match. Bo wrestled tough also. And it's like how the fact that there's no back points for a count, it's like he almost had McKenna pinned for like about 40 seconds and McKenna fought off his back. And then it's like he gets his hand raised at the end. You're like, how did that happen? It's like when you're not used to thinking about it like that. But, you know, I saw, you know, we're Pennsylvania Regional Training Center. Well, not we, but like, we're University of Pennsylvania alum, and so we have a lot of connections over there. We're constantly at PRTC events and you know, dinners and the like. And I saw Joe McKenna going up in the elevator with McFadden, and I told him, I said this to Coach Reyna also before. I said, man, there's a lot of really good wrestlers that don't fight well off their back, right? And I mean, the fact that he fought like that, again, it's a common thing. You could see this at all different levels, but the fact that he fought and he made the comment on the elevator, like, I thought about just getting pinned. And I said, yeah, that's a common thought in anyone's head. Like, maybe I just don't fight as much. And he said, well, no, if he's going to pin me, he's going to have to actually pin me. And it's like, that's the right attitude. And it's funny to think about, like, you have to also have a plan. We talk about knowing what you're going to think in these moments. You should have a plan of what you're going to think if you're on your back, like what you're going to tell yourself in that moment, because it's hard. It's going to be a hard fight. You're getting your neck torqued, and it's easy to give up. And like, people are kind of, and the other thing is like, people are kind of forgiving there in terms of like, oh yeah, you know, he just got pinned, right? Oh, you just got caught. Or yeah, you know, he got pinned. He was on his back, but it takes a lot of guts to fight off his back and then coming back and then winning it for winning third. So yep. That's like we said, that's health insurance for another year.
That's right. Top three or top four get health insurance. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially these guys, they have 3, 4, 5 kids. You're going to need that. It gets expensive.
It does.
I know. I guess next week we got Kyle Snyder making his, I think it's a 10th world team in a row.
Yeah. Or, largely uneventful. Nothing really, like, I didn't really, you know, they're good weights and everything.
He was an easy pick, right? I would say it's like, that was one of them that I felt that the best about. It's like, Kyle Snyder is going to win this weight. Obviously, Jaden Cox in there, but like, we haven't seen him wrestled in so long, and hats off to him. Like, for me, it was pretty emotional when he left his shoes in the mat. You know, we've been watching him for a while. We've been, you know, talking about him in podcasts and blogs for a long time, Jaden Cox. And it's like, there was a period of time when he was on his game where he looked like he was impossible to take down, right? It's like, he won two world championships. It's like, he medaled a bunch of times, bronze medal in the Olympics. He was a guy that just was always entertaining, you know, always humble, good champion on and off the mat. And that's just I don't know. Those are emotional moments. That's it's tough to watch, but it's like, yeah, it's eventually time gets to everyone. And he just, you know, he didn't seem to be in the hunt against like a Kyle Snyder, who's still looking good. Like I said, easy pick for me, Kyle Snyder at that weight. He was dominant, made his 10th team. I remember a while ago, Tom Ryan said he nicknamed Kyle Snyder Kyle Sustained Success Snyder. And I think he's been proven right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's probably proven right before that, but 10 years in a row. And he's medaled every year. I think he's medaled every year.
Something like that. Yeah, it's nuts. And again, someone like Cox, who is a 2-time world champ and Olympic bronze medalist, like, he's really good. It was definitely emotional seeing him down there. And you know, being down there, Matt's side, seeing, you know, his family. And I got to speak with Whitney Condor, his wife, who is also a great American wrestler. We worked with her year. I remember speaking to her years back when she was making her runs at Worlds and Olympics and everything. And she said, like, you know, I know what it's, she told Jaden, this wasn't during the interview. This is while they were interviewing him. I was speaking to Whitney. He was holding both of her, the kids. And I'm like, hey, do you want a chair? And she's like, no, I'm good. And she's like, and I just told Jaden, like, you know, whatever you need, I'm here for you. I'll do whatever you need me to do. You know, you just, you focus on what you have to do. So, and obviously, you know, it's not just her, all the wives and like the commitments to that all these people, and even a lot of the wrestling coaches and the people, it's like the wives give up a lot. Like, we're away from our families, but I mean, these guys, it's like they're away, you know, they're away constantly a lot. But yeah, I don't think she knew he was retiring. That was like news.
Really?
That was news to Whitney, his wife, when that happened.
That's crazy.
And I remember discussing this with a few people. It's like, this should have been addressed. This should have been handled a while ago. Like, hey, what's our 1 year plan? What's our 5 year plan? But you know, you sometimes you don't know. And I mean, in your head, you have to be a little bit delusional to believe. It's like, I'm going to win this thing. It's like, otherwise, why would you do it? So it's like, then it happens. It's like, yeah, I didn't really feel like I had it anymore. And it's like, I think it's time.
Well, then. Yeah, I think about that too with like Taylor. I'm like, if Taylor loses, he's going to leave his shoes on the mat, right? Because like, number one, it's like that would be a touching moment too, right? But it's also
yeah,
like
at Penn State,
at Penn State, you know, at his hometown, at his home gym, right? It's like, but it's like, he's there to win. You know, he shouldn't be thinking too much about that. If I lose, like, he's there to win, not just here, but the Olympics.
Yeah,
he's there. You know, he would have been one of the few. He could have been one of the few Americans ever to win two Olympic gold medals. So he's not thinking about the shoes thing.
Right,
and that's the right attitude to have. That's the right mindset. If you do it, that's great. Like, if you lose and, you know, you're planning on retiring. But I think if you're thinking too much about that, you know, now you're thinking about your, you know, I'm going to lose. Like, Taylor was there to win, not just this week, but in Paris, you know. Yeah. So you can see why he wouldn't do that, because, you know, you're not thinking about that. Not to mention, you should make logical decisions and not emotional decisions. Hopefully all these, you think it through before you just put your shoes on the mat.
But yeah, but it's tough because you do have to have that attitude where I'm here to win. And so it's like after Taylor lost, I mean, obviously, you know, it's great to see for Aaron Brooks. I mean, you know, again, another great ambassador for the sport, always talks about his faith to the point where they're cutting him off now with these kind of things. Or even when they're asking him very pointed questions, which is why the one guy made the spoof video of like just continually talking about the faith. And the Jesus headband and stuff. It's because he keeps talking about it. And that's, you know, we have to say with wrestling, a lot of people talking about their faith. And I said this with David Carr before, where it's like, it's thanks to, he said, he doesn't remember a lot of people talking about the faith. And I said, well, it's thanks to people like him and Brooks who continually talk about it, that now people are getting empowered. So it's a great thing. But so David Taylor loses, obviously now this is a moment right here, because is he going to take his shoes off? What's going to happen? And it's like every single, again, being ground level and being mat side, all the wrestlers go out the same way every single time. And now I'm waiting for David Taylor to come out. I run down there. So I'm sitting up there with next to Bash and the selective seating, you know, the mat side, and boom, I'm running down there waiting for Taylor to come out, and he's not there. And someone's like, oh yeah, he went out the back. And I'm like, what? It's like literally. So now I'm a little bit aggravated, because it's literally like every single person goes this way the whole time and he's out the back. So no one knew where David Taylor went. And this is a guy who is probably like, I mean, as of recent, like our family's favorite wrestler. I mean, of course, we're always John Smith people. We got an exclusive interview coming with him, with Eric Guerrero. He's had literally hundreds of people trying to interview him. And he came to us. He approached me about, I want to do the interview with you guys. It'll be my one and only interview. It was a very heartfelt interview. And the interview was only 22 minutes, but it felt like an extremely long time, because he, you know,
said about the Dake thing, the more emotional the interview, the longer it feels. Cause I guess it's like, in a sense, I don't know, it's uncomfortable in a sense.
Yeah. And if you watch me interview him, it's, you're going to see a much different, you know, much, much different Gene Zanetti, where it's like, you know, normally upbeat and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, even not knowing what to react to, we were laughing. And he was like, you know, it doesn't mean you're perfect. And I'm like, nah, like, I don't know. We're just kind of, you know, like, you don't know how to, you know, you're interviewing people, you don't know exactly how to react. You know, I wasn't trained as an interviewer. And he's like, you know, people aren't perfect. And I'm like, nah, you know, like just kind of reacting real funny and stuff. But it was, but it was serious at the time. And it still is serious, but you guys are going to see it only on Wrestling Mindset. Well, David Taylor, we didn't know where he was. He disappeared. Brooks comes down there. All the lights are on him. And then I go in the back because, you know, you get the great thing being down backstage. You get free coffee and all day. I mean, I think they could have done a better job feeding us, but
You said no food. I didn't know you had free coffee.
Oh yeah. There was coffee and a whole soda thing. All day I was able to, I had coffee the whole day. So that's why now we're catching up. We're double fisting with two waters to re-catch up on hydration. But man, okay. So now we're going in the back, and as I'm going back to get another coffee, because it's a long event, and there's David Taylor sitting like by the media room. We're like, no one was by him. It was literally him, Jake Varner. I don't know, one of the other Penn State guys. I'm sure it's a big name, but I didn't know who it was. And he's back there, and it's like he's sitting down, and I'm like, I should be videotaping this because no one was videotaping it. So one, but like, you know, you're also there, and it's like, I don't want to, you know, insult anyone or feel bad. And again, this is like our, you know, my favorite recent wrestler. So it's like, I'm certainly not trying to rub it in, but here you are backstage for the first time. So I got like you could see it was like a measly 2 second clip when they're there, but it was also, I didn't have the heart to keep the cameras rolling. You know, some people are cut out for media. You could see like a lot of these guys when like people are getting emotional. They could care less, and that's their job. They got the cameras right on there. They're not leaving. They'll stay there the whole time. And then these guys post it right away. We could have got that Jordan Burroughs post out with that ignorant fan immediately. I still haven't posted it yet. I still feel bad. But so, and then David Taylor, I let them go in front of me, and then I'm filming a little bit. And then after I go up the elevator, so I was actually on the elevator up with David Taylor and Jake Varner and that other Penn State coach that I don't know who it was, but they were going up. And this is why, so you could see the video. You got David Taylor walking one way. You got Aaron Brooks being interviewed over there. And when he was sitting down, David Taylor was saying something like, either something to the effect of, I just couldn't get my offense going, or he said, like, I just didn't give myself a chance in that match or something. I didn't have the heart to stick around for that. But anyway, I followed them up the elevator, and now it's like time is slowing down and your mind's racing. Like, should I say something? I wanted to say, you know, you're our favorite wrestler. I didn't know what I was going to say, but we're up in the elevator. I just didn't look at him. And then when it came time to go out, he went out and I just stayed in. But he didn't go up to the top floor. He went out to like a select. So when you go up the elevator, there's the bottom floor, there's two, and then there's three, which is the top. And he went out some kind of like select way with like Penn State all like nice. It must have been the nice amenities for the Penn State guys. Well, he went out a different spot than most people would go out with the guys, but it was sad.
Yeah. Like you said, he's our favorite wrestler. It's just the way he wrestles.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we love Dake too, but it's like the way Taylor wrestles, just more offensive. Crazy that Dake used to beat him all the time, right? But like,
and Burroughs.
Just the way he put up points. Yeah, it's like the way he put up points and the way he wrestled. I'm thinking folks, going back to folk style too, because Burroughs put up a lot of points, but folk style, he would turn people, he would pin everyone, right? It's like Burroughs would get more takedowns in a match, but Taylor would pin people, turn them. It's like, this guy's real good, and then he like pins him in 30 seconds, or he beats him like 21-5. It's like, what?
It's just crazy. And then, of course, at heavyweight, Mason Paris, just like clockwork, so not really much to say there. It's just he wrestled great. He's dominant. Yeah. He's gonna have a good chance out there.
I picked him. I thought, I mean, obviously he medaled in the world last year, world bronze medal. So he's sitting up top. So it's kind of an easy pick before the tournament. And the fact that he's been training freestyle, you know, exclusively. A lot of people picked the Penn State heavyweight, Kirk Liet, but I just thought that a year of freestyle, and he's big too, right? He's got to be close to the limit. He's looked good. He's jumped levels in the last, you know, year or two since he's been done with college wrestling. So, I mean, that's the team. We got to qualify two weights. We got to still qualify Spencer Lee, Zane Rutherford. You got to feel good about them qualifying, but it's like, it's only top three. And it's like anyone who hasn't qualified, I don't know. I don't like that about the Olympics too, that it's like that difficult. I think back to like Jordan Oliver, he finally broke through, made the Olympic team in 2020, I guess it was 2021. And then it's like, he didn't make the finals. I thought top two had to make it. And it's like, and he didn't qualify the weight. It's like, come on, you couldn't tell me he wouldn't be in the hunt at that weight. You know, it's like, you know, the US is so good. So That stinks, but we got ourselves a team.
Yeah, no, it's we're gonna be ready for Paris. It's gonna be great. So
other shout outs. I was thinking about, you got it 125. Marcus Blaze took third, high school wrestler. Right, it's like Jack. Yep. Who did he beat? Is it Jax Force? He beat for third.
Yeah, yeah, he wrestled phenomenal. We got to get Jax.
We're gonna try to get those guys. We're gonna try to get those guys in the show. It's like, I mean, you know, they're beating these seasoned senior level wrestlers, and they look good. Like I said, it's like
one of the Jack Sports game.
Yeah. If Thomas Gilman, all he could handle, right? It's like he basically, Gilman had to shut him down for a full 3 minutes and not let him score to win that match 5-4. So it's like these guys are ready. It's like it speaks to the mindset, right? It's like obviously there's got to be a ton of training, but to have these high school guys believing that they could compete and win against, you know, these legends. You know, we're talking legends of the sport. Thomas Gilman, like you said, one of the most successful lightweights of all time in America. You know, and these guys are coming out believing that they're going to beat him. In Greco, we had the guy Alexander Stinks. I don't know his last name. 44 year old. He made the finals. That's nuts. In Greco, yeah. 44.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, it just shows there's, I mean, you got to believe in yourself. It's a lifetime commitment to work. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what more to say. It's just, it's hard. The guys are really good. Impressive. And you know, you got to, yeah, it's crazy.
Nate Jackson. We got to give a shout out to our mindset.
Nate Jackson. Yes.
He looked good. He came back. He took third. He was pretty dominant too on the way back. He looked awesome out there. So shout out to Nate Jackson. If you're listening, he might be your mindset coach. One of our premium mindset coaches. He's doing a great job for Wrestling Mindset. That's, you know, it's hard for him to do that as a senior level wrestler. And, you know, it's like
real hard.
A lot of times they get a bad rap for, like, being selfish because they got to focus so much on their own, you know, journey in wrestling and their training and their commitment, and not to mention their other life obligations. But for him to do that and be an awesome mentor, you know, to so many Wrestling Mindset wrestlers, you know, I know we really appreciate that. And so do his athletes. So,
yeah. So if you want your kid to work with Nate Jackson, who just took third, let us contact us and put in the code Nate Jackson. There's no code. There's no code.
You go to our website, you have a form you have to fill out, an application to fill out, and there's additional notes.
Yeah,
you can write in there, I want Nate Jackson to be my wrestling mindset coach.
Exactly. And one point we should probably also make with that, where we say that, just kind of joking around, I mean, you could do that, of course, but sometimes the best wrestler is not always the best fit for your kid, just because we're looking at when someone signs up for Wrestling Mindset, when you sign up for Wrestling Mindset, the first thing we do is, well, you pay and then you fill out a parent questionnaire. And the parent questionnaire, we want to know your kid's personality, their goals inside and outside of wrestling. We also want to know times that you're available. I mean, we're trying to work around your kid's schedules. So we have the benefit of having almost 100 mindset coaches. We could find someone who could best accommodate your family. Yeah. And that's important. Yeah. And a lot of times, again, just because a person is a high profile name, or a lot of times people, they're like, they say to me, it's okay, I want you to work with my kid. I'm like, I might be one of the worst mindset coaches for your kid, because I'm wearing so many hats with, you know, I'm thinking podcast, we're thinking management of the company, we're traveling. And you want these mindset coaches who are like clockwork, who are, you know, this is the main thing that they're doing. It's just different. So
Good. I was just going to say, this is one of those situations where you really have to trust the experts. It's like, one of the strengths of our company is matching wrestlers with a good coach. Like you said, it's not just about how successful the coach is on the mat, right? It's the personality, it's their goals, it's their schedule, right? You could have a guy who fits really well, but their schedules don't work, right? And so, you know, there's just a lot of factors. Personality is important, temperament, what their goals are, what their age are, right? There's certain coaches that are better with the younger athletes, women wrestlers. Like, there's just a lot of factors. So, you know, that's one of those where it's like, trust the experts. Our business would not have been successful if we weren't able to match people, because obviously there's the mindset, right? There's the lessons, the peak performance lessons, the foundation mindset, but it's like half of the success is in the relationship, right? You have to have the relationship, and that goes for anything. You know, a teacher, a coach, it's like the relationship that you have is, you know, at least 50% of you know, the success of any mentorship relationship for certain.
It's huge, and we were able to crack that code thanks to our good team behind us, namely Jake Hunter, and Anthony Mastrangelo, and you know, Bo Tillman, our team, our main, you know, our core team, where we're able to match people up. It's a real big deal. It's been incredibly helpful, and you know, at these tournaments, and we had it again, of course, no different here. People come up to us from around the country. Us being a virtual company, we see a lot, we don't see a lot of the people that we work with. And people come up to me and they say, or come up to us and we'll say, hey, my kid's in your program. And I'm always like on edge at that moment because you never know what they're going to say. But like literally almost every time almost every single time, what a great experience it's been and how much it's helped the kids. And, you know, because one of the hardest things with the business, like, you know, you have to kind of like clone yourself. Like, yeah, I could only help so many people, but if we could cultivate multiple mindset coaches, we could help a lot of people. So it's always, well, how do you clone yourself? And it's, you know, being able, it's not really so much cloning yourself. It's great selection. It's great training. It's the right people and finding the right fit. So you got to trust us that we're going to find the right fit for your kid.
One of the things that I like about the Fan Fest, you know, we had a vendor booth there, and obviously, like, you know, we're trying to grow our business and, you know, meet new people, but it's awesome when we have clients coming up to us, and it's like, you know, I had it several times, you know, at the Fan Fest, and then just in the hallways, right? Just in the hallways at the event in the arena. And actually one guy you took a picture of, he did the Mindset Blast. And we'll give a shout out. His name is Cipriano Duran from Colorado, 10U. The dad and him, they stopped us, me and my kids, when we were walking around in the arena. He's like, hey, are you, you know, do you know Z? I was like, yeah, well, I am Z too. You know, I was like, did you meet my brother? And then I looked a little closer. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, you were up on our page yesterday. You did our Mindset Blast. And he's like, yeah, I did the Mindset Blast. And I asked him, he remembered it. And, you know, we took pictures. I had my kids take a picture with him. And, you know, the dad was grateful, awesome family, but it's like, it's just really cool to see that the impact that we're having on wrestlers that, you know, the follow our podcast, do our program, and then some to just follow us on Instagram, you know, and appreciate the blogs and information that we put out there. So it's a really cool thing.
That's why this kind of content is key. So, I mean, always let us know what you want us to talk about. See, a lot of people don't realize that it's like when you're a media company too, not a media company, but you have a media channel, it's like you have to keep coming up with content. So it really helps us when you say, hey, you know, like, can you talk about this? We could talk about that. And we still have a lot of interviews for All Americans that we're going to post and that we're going to do. And we're going to look to snag some of these guys and guys who just won.
Yeah, we got to touch on, we got to do a little segment on women's wrestling. You know, you talk about legends, right? And it's like, you know, we talked about Dake, Taylor, Burrows. Okay, well, you got Adeline Gray, you know, who made the finals. It's like, came up a little short, but, you know, what she's done after, you know, having twins like a little bit over a year ago. She made the world team last year, you know, and she was back again in the finals. Like, what she's done for wrestling is amazing. You have, Helen Maroulis, who looked phenomenal. I mean, she seems like she's at her best, which is crazy. You know, again, legends in the sport. I always enjoyed watching her wrestler. Like, technically, you know, she's always been, you know, amazing. And then just like footwork, you know, she seems like she's on her game. She's going to make a run to win. So two legends, Sarah Hildebrand, she's coming into legend territory too now, right?
Yeah.
How many world teams has she made? I mean, and she's, in the last couple of years, she's been absolutely dominant.
She's been on a bunch. And then, you get, and then, you know, yeah, some, you know, Kayla Miracle being back again. She's two-time Olympian.
Kennedy Blades, you know, dethroning Adeline Gray.
She looked awesome. I mean, you just watched the tournament. I was like, yeah. And just like, see, and actually seeing her up close and like what she looks like. And like how tall she actually is and athletic, you know, in her matches and just like a physical specimen. I was watching her throw. I was like, this girl's good. I think she's going to be the, you know, our Olympian. So that's nuts. Like, again, like a changing of the guards thing. It's going to be extremely hard for Adeline Gray, I think, to beat her again, because it's like, she just keeps getting better every time they meet. And it's like, you got twins. It's hard, you know? So
right. That's right. Amit Allure. How many world titles does she have already? You know, she makes her first Olympic teams, first Olympic team. And, you know, she's, I guess, legend territory too, right? She won three world championships in 1 year. Then you got to go back to giving the shout out to Valentin Klik again, who trained both her and Helen for many years from when they were young, and, you know, getting them without a doubt to jump levels. So, yeah.
And also,
it's another high power team.
And you could also say probably giving them a style too that's very sustainable, because they're doing foot sweeps. Yep. They're not, you know, they're not taking dive bomber shots underneath girls and stuff. So they're not tearing up their bodies as much. It's like, you know, there's another way to wrestle. It's like, we think it's like, you got to shoot, you got to get to the leg. You do need to shoot and get to the leg. That is important. And these girls can, but it's like, you got to be able to do a lot of other things too. That goes, you know, guys, girls, anyone. So great stuff. Another great Olympic trials. And we're going to see everyone in Paris. Well, we're not going to be in Paris, but we're going to have a lead up to Paris. Hopefully we could interview all these guys.
All right. Who would you least like to wrestle out of the champs?
And probably still Chance Marsteller. Probably still Chance Marsteller.
Still Chance Marsteller.
When they actually showed him, we were watching his matches.
Especially
again,
up at this weight.
Anytime.
If you thought he looked thick at 79 kilograms, now look at him. And you're like, well, maybe you could get his ankle, get a low single. It's like, his calf is like that.
It's funny because it seems like I'm always watching him wrestle around different crowds of people. And like, everyone is saying the same thing. They're like, and the one guy, you know, being Matt's side, the one guy's like, he's just thick in all kinds of different spots than you're used to people being like thick. So it's just strong. It's like, they're like, and people like, you know, his stance and his legs are so far back, and how do you get to him? So still probably Chance.
Dake's got to be up there too, because I'm pretty sure it's like you just get thrown.
Yeah. And Dake's,
I don't want to get hurt.
Dake's another guy where it's like, you know, there's a lot of people who say, I forget who said this the other day. This isn't my original content, but someone said it the other day. They're like, with who Dake was going to wrestle in the finals. Like, I really don't think he cares. And is there like, and a lot of people like say they don't care, like who I wrestle. But it's like, I really don't think Dake's like one of those few people. It's like, I really don't think he cares who he's wrestling in the finals of this. And yeah, you know, anyone, anywhere, anytime for free.
Yeah, I guess I would say too in the comments, let us know. It's like, if you like these recaps, we don't do them that frequently, right? We did maybe did something after the NCAAs, but
might have, yeah.
It seems like there is high demand for it, and you know, we're going to be doing a lot of interviews with. We want to know what you guys want more of, right? Is it recaps like this,
long form? Yeah.
Is it short interviews with top wrestlers? Is it the coach interviewing the coaches? Is it the long form to sit down? You know, the one that we did with Ernie Monaco and Jeff Buxton, who ran into Jeff Buxton a couple times at the Olympic trials. He didn't watch yet. He said he doesn't like listening to himself talk, which is common for most people. But like that did really well. People really appreciated the sit down. So we're going to be, you know, arranging some more of those, but we want to know what content you guys want, and we want to be able to provide it.
Let us know. And we'll put it out there. Wrestling Mind. So whether it's wrestling, school, business, or life, mindset makes the difference. Have a great day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.